Today, Jason's going to start a new series. Does anybody remember the title of this series? Happy New Deer. Happy New Deer. Catchy, isn't it? He spent a long time picking that one up. And what we're going to talk about is, you know, sometimes with New Year's, we make resolutions, we do some things. And the one thing that we think about with marriage is how to become the spouse your spouse wants you to be. So think about that for a minute. How to become the spouse your spouse wants you to be. So what does your spouse want you to be like? And I don't want to steal everything Jason's going to talk about this morning, so I'll leave it at that and let him come up and finish the rest.
Good morning, everybody. I want to also wish you a happy new year. I have a New Year's resolution, and that is never do announcements or teach on Wildcard Weekend when the Steelers are playing the night before. So I'm a little groggy this morning, but with you and ready to go, and sincerely super excited for the new year. Super excited for the new year at Homefront. We have some really cool things planned for this coming year. We're going to share those with you next week. But for this week, we have to start with something else. This is the time of year when people make priorities. And so when you, make their resolution list. So these are some resolutions that some people will commonly make at the beginning of the year. I wanted to share with you a few resolutions that we would encourage you not to make. So here are some that I would encourage you gently to steer away from in the new year. Number one, prove that donuts are healthy for you. I would encourage you not to do that. Number two, to quit your gym membership. Keep your gym membership going. Number three, avoid making eye contact. Just stare at a screen more and keep your head down. Don't pay any attention to the people that are around you. Another one, tell your boss what you really think of him. I would encourage you not to do that in the new year. When you work from home, actually work from home. So some of you know what that means. Talk less, text more. I mean, why would we want personal relationships? Just text away. People will get it. Stop saving but increase reckless spending. Encourage you to do that in the new year. To not do that in the new year. And then finally, to complete your resolutions from 2012. How many of you are still working on those right now? No, seriously, people make a lot of resolutions at the beginning of a new year, and they're very well-intentioned resolutions, but they don't seem to work out somehow. And so that's what I wanted to talk with you about this morning is, if we have all of these good intentions when it comes to resolutions, why don't they ever seem to work out? And that's going to be the beginning of our Happy New Deer series. And hopefully some of you will be able to follow along. I know it's a little low, but I was worried about the glass table, putting glass on glass. Hopefully you'll be able to see this. But the illustrations about the show you will hopefully help you understand what we're talking about with this new series. So here we have a container. And this container represents the amount of time that I have, the amount of time that you have. And what we're going to start to do is take up that container, and we're going to fill our container with some rocks. So here's our first rock that we're going to slide down into the container. Put the big rock in there. Now we have something else that we're going to use our time for. Fill in the blank. I'm going to spend time doing this, that, or the next thing. There's another big chunk of our time. And here's another big chunk of our time. Right there, that rock. They're not real rocks. I couldn't find real rocks at Home Depot this time of year, so I had to kind of fudge it a little bit. And then do we have room for any more big rocks? Do we have any more time left? Because this is the maximum amount of time I have. Could I squeeze any more big rocks in there? No, I'm running out of time. So then what I start to do is I start to fill in the cracks. So I take some smaller rocks that don't require as much time. Ooh, if this breaks, that's going to be dangerous. So I start to fill in the cracks with some smaller things that I have to do. Grab a few more. That one didn't slide down too well. Down in there. Ooh, if I break this, we're going to make a mess. Bob Shull is not going to be happy with me if I had glass all over his stage this morning. So we keep filling in the amount of time that we have. Remember, it's limited. We only have so much time that we can spend doing stuff. So we fill it in with some rocks. Put a few more in there. Can't seem to get any more down in there. Okay, is all of our time used up? Is our time used up? Are we pretty full? Yeah? Well, there still seems to be a little bit more space. We just need to find some smaller things to fill in the time. So these are the more minute things that we have to do in life, but we can kind of squeeze them in there and still have some time for these smaller things. But eventually we're going to hit the top. Just do this. Okay. Are we full? Are we full? No? I mean, we can't even fit those things in there. Okay, that's it. Do we have any more time left? A little bit. We have a little bit of time left. We can start filling in. There's a little bit more time left. We just have to really squeeze it in. So whatever little bit, the few minutes of the day, those few moments, bedtime, morning time, we start filling in until eventually we're maxed out. We thought at the beginning that when we took those big items and put them into the container, we got up to the top, we thought we were out of time. But we weren't. We still had some space. So we started filling them in with smaller things. And then we got up to the top again, and we thought we were out of time, but we still had more space. We still had more time. And our capacity for time, when you look at your calendar, when you look at your day planner, when you look at your phone, you still have capacity to fill things in some of those smaller spaces. And we kept thinking we were out of time. But in fact, we weren't out of time. We still had space for other things. But we all have a max. We all have a cap. We get to the point where we can't squeeze anything more into our lives. We are simply out of time. It is completely maxed out. But here's the principle. What if I found some more rocks? Where do I put them? What if I found some of those big guys at the beginning? Could I put a big rock in there right now? No. I couldn't put anything else in here right now, not even small stuff, but certainly not the big stuff. I could try to shove it down in there and then we would have a mess. Everything would be all over the place, but I wouldn't be able to squeeze in it because what did I have to do first? Big rocks. We have to put the big rocks in first. And the reason why our resolutions don't work out is because oftentimes our resolutions in the new year do not match our priorities. Our resolutions do not match our priorities. Because when something is a priority, when something is important to us, when something is significant, when there's something we know we need to do, when it's big, when it's important, when it's that big rock, we have to put it in first. Because when we shove it in at the beginning, then we start filling around it. But if we hold on to it and wait and fill it in with a bunch of little stuff, checking my email, running these errands, when I start looking at that stuff first and I put it in all the little rocks first, if I would have shoved this thing full of all the little rocks, and we all have that little stuff, right? I mean, it seems like life is just full of all these little things, little annoying things that we have to do. These to-do lists, these things that we have to do for our kids, these things that we have to do for the school and our neighborhood, all these little things, paying the bills, we have all this stuff to do. But we start thinking about the easy, quick things first, and we put it in there, and we fill up our time to capacity, and then we realize that there's a big rock, a big priority that we should have put in first, that in fact we had to put in first, otherwise it's not going to work. We have to think about our priorities. So Jason, what's the point? Well, God tells us what our priorities are. Thankfully, he doesn't leave us hanging. He doesn't leave us wondering, well, what should we put in first? What is a big rock? What should we do? And he tells us what that big, huge rock, which was the biggest one that I put in, he tells us what that rock is. But as we look to the new year, if our priorities do not match, if our resolutions do not match our priorities, we're going to get into a huge problem because we start thinking about all these resolutions that they don't map back to what's important. We have to ask ourselves, what is important first? So fortunately, God doesn't leave us hanging. And if you have a Bible with you, I'd love for you to turn to Deuteronomy. And if you've been here for a while at Homefront, or if you're new, welcome if you're new. But if you've been with me with parenting classes, you know this is one of my favorite sections of the scriptures, and you know it's one of my favorite verses. But it's so important, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And it says this. Little context here. This is Moses speaking to the people after they get out of Egypt. So they were enslaved. The Israelite people were enslaved for many, many years. Now the Lord has freed them. Moses is speaking to them. And the words that he's speaking to them are directly from the Lord. This is the Lord speaking to his people thousands of years ago. And this same Lord speaks to us today, his people here at Homefront. And he says this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." If you took some time to study the book of Deuteronomy, he says this about 10 more times. This exact phrase, at least 4 more times, depending on your translation. The exact phrase, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Then, fast forward 2,000 years or so, you have Jesus walking the earth, and Jesus says the same exact thing. And he said it in such a way, or at least he said it so many times, that 3 of the 4 gospel writers, 4 accounts of Jesus' life, 3 of those accounts say the same exact thing. And he quotes this and he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Love the Lord your God. He is saying, and in the particular account with Jesus, there's someone literally asking him, "Jesus, what's really important in life? What should I focus on first? What should I do first?" And Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God." The same thing Moses said to his people years ago. Because it's really important. Because loving the Lord is the big rock down at the bottom. Now, some of you are surprised. Some of you come in here, and again, if you're visiting for the first time, you're like, this is a couples community. So I came here to learn how to be a better husband. I came here to learn how to be a better wife. And what the Lord says is, do you want to be a better husband? Do you want to be a better wife? Love me. Follow me. Some of you can relate to this. Over the Christmas break, we had a great Christmas break. We had some family in town. We had a wonderful time. Lots of fun with the kids. Christmas Day, opening gifts. Just a blast. I love that time with my family. I don't tend to be as consistent and in a rhythm as I do when I'm at work. There's just something about the rhythm of being in work. And when I'm not in that rhythm, I tend to spend less time with the Lord. And you know what happens? People can tell. People can tell because when I spend time with the Lord, I'm more loving. I'm more patient. I'm more kind. I'm less selfish. Because I recognize that there's something bigger than me, bigger than all of this, and that's Him. But when I have diminished time with Him, or some days no time at all, I just turn everything back to me. And people can tell. If you want to be that spouse, love the Lord. If you want to be that parent, if you want to be a better mother or a better father, the Lord says, come to me first. I am the big rock. And not only am I the big rock, but I have to be at the bottom. I have to be the first rock that you put into your time tube. Because I'm the most significant. Now, some of you are saying, okay, so from a time management, this is my time. Well, I have to work and I have to sleep. Yes, absolutely. That's not what I'm talking about here. So work and rest, sleep, work and sleep are made by God. And He tells us they're good. They're good. He tells us that we should work. We should have a job. We should earn a living. And He gives us that. And particularly for men, just because it says so in the Word of God, men are very driven in their job. So we're going to focus on that. And obviously, we need to rest. So I'm not saying just look at the 24 hours in the day and ignore the rock of work or sleep. What I'm saying is, those are a given. Work and sleep are a given. What are you going to do with the remainder of what I would call that free time that you have? How are you going to prioritize your time? And what I would encourage you to do is to consider not what I say, blow off what I say, just pick it up and read what He says. And He's saying, spend time with Him first. So some of you guys are asking yourself, okay, that's all this religious stuff, all of this great preacher man. What do I do? What does that mean? What does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might? And I was thinking through, what are some applications that we could really do? Well, I think of primarily two, and some of you are doing one of them right now. It's really, really important, again, not because I say so, because God says so, to be in a community with other people that know the Word of God and can share the Word of God with you. Some of you are here this morning for the first time. That's awesome. I really couldn't think of a better way for you to start off your year. Not because you're listening to me, but because you're with the people that you're at your table with. Because that's what it's all about. You're in community where you can learn from others and get counsel from others. The second is to start learning for yourself. And some of you, I'm thrilled that you're here, but frankly, 2014 was not the year for your growth. Sunday, 6 days of nothing from a perspective of spending time with the Lord, and then Sunday again. And I'm so thankful that there are those Sundays, but there has to be something in between. You have to have something in between. And when you say, okay, not counting work, not counting sleep, with the amount of time that I have available to me, if the Lord says that he needs to be the big rock at the bottom, if the Lord says I need to put him first, I need to seek him with everything that I have, that's more than Sunday, take a break, come back next Sunday. I need to be with him. If he's really the foundation, the big rock at the bottom, I need to seek him. I need to pursue him. Here's some ideas for how you might want to pursue him. It's a great time of year to start a reading plan. If you're not familiar with this, there's some great theologians and scholars that have put together just these really simple reading plans for starting to read your Bible. You've never done that before. You've never prioritized. You've never said, you know, I'm going to be consistent with this thing. So what I'm going to do is to the Homefront files, and Brad will send you the link, I'm going to post a few reading plans that I found that are pretty good. Some of them go through the entire Bible in a year. Some of them go through just the New Testament and the Proverbs and the Psalms in a year. Some of them are smaller than that. Some of them are just 5 minutes a day. I'm going to post a few of them for you. But just figure out how you're going to spend some time with the Lord and study on your own. Because when we do that, imagine what will happen if we choose to spend time individually for us with the Lord. You talk about becoming the spouse your spouse wants you to be in 2015. It's not getting in shape. It's not spending less money. It's not being more organized. Those might be icing on the cake, but that's not what it's about. At the core, your spouse really wants you to be a woman of God. Your spouse really wants you to be a man of God. And when you are a woman and a man of God, you are incredibly desirable to your spouse. But that's about you. Imagine what it looks like in our couples here if you both decide that you're really going to pursue the Lord this year. I mean, how cool would that be? If you were both learning, pursuing, loving, honoring, worshiping, fearing God in your relationship, would it change how you treat one another? I really think it would. Would it change your relationship at home? It would. Imagine it would be like if each of the individuals at your table right now, if you look around the table that you're sitting at this morning, imagine if each of those people were really pursuing the Lord. Some of you have tremendous value to add at your tables, but you are untapped right now because it's all you. The Lord wants to speak through you to the other people at your table. Imagine what this community would be like in 2015 if we all did this. If we all did this. If we all decided to put him first. I'm going through a reading plan with my kids this year. My older kids, 10 to 13 kids. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask you periodically on the quarter, how are you doing with your reading plan? So for those of you that decide to do this together, if you decide as a table, as a region, just as a couple to do this, at the end of every quarter, I'm just going to say, hey, how's it going? Are you keeping up? And I'm just going to give you a little encouragement as we walk through this together, go through a reading plan, and to study the Word of God together. But imagine what our community would look like if we all joined in and we pursued him. But it all starts with you. It's individual. Become the spouse your spouse desires you to be in 2015. Let's pray. Father, you are so clear. Lord, I'm so thankful that even a big dummy like me can understand when you say something so bluntly and just repeat it over and over and over again. And it's so true, Lord, that when we put you first, you'll change us. You'll change us from the inside, and you'll make us the man, the woman that our spouse desires, but more importantly, the man and woman that you desire. Father, would you give us the courage and the wisdom to do that in this new year? Lord, help us to pick up that rock of you. Put it at the bottom. Put it in first. Think about how we can do that in a way to honor you this year. And Lord, for the times that we don't, that's why you sent your son. For the times that we turn away from you, and he paid a price that we couldn't pay on the cross. Thank you for our Savior Jesus, and we pray these things in his name. Amen.